Third chapter, verses 22 through 24. Slaves, obey your masters on earth in everything. Don't just obey like people pleasers when they are watching. Instead, obey with the single motivation of fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do it from the heart for the Lord and not for people. You know that you will receive an inheritance as a reward. You serve the Lord Christ. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
We are thankful for all the ways we get to worship together. Will you join me in prayer? Loving God, here we are, your people, gathered in this space this morning, coming from many different directions, physically and emotionally, and we pray that in our time ahead as we continue in our worship, that we might be open to hearing a word from you. Be with us now. Amen. Earn all you can. Save all you can. Give all you can. Three simple instructions, right? Well, maybe. Depends on whether or not you feel like you have enough money to give, to save, and to earn, right? In our series that we're going to launch today called Earn, Save, Give, we're going to talk about how what we do with what we have, that it matters. And it's not just about money or finances. It has to do with how we prioritize our lives. Even about how we view ourselves and understand that each one of us, regardless of where we are in life, has a part to play in what's going on in the world. Who you are matters. And so, yeah, what we do with what we have, it matters and can make a difference. Now, in the New Testament, and specifically as we hear Jesus and his teaching and in his language, we do hear a lot about money and wealth. And there seems to be some instructions, actually, that go along with it. Ones that might even seem a little bit different than this concept of earn and save and give. Because we are told and we hear stories that we are not to store up earthly wealth. We hear about a rich young ruler who, when he's asking about how he can please God, he's told that he needs to part with all of his stuff. Well, he had a hard time doing that. It also says that it'd be easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to get into heaven. Earn all you can? Wait. There is story after story about ways in which wealth does not allow us to experience the fullness of God. We hear about the least of these. Those who are outcasts and sinners, those who are broken and hurt. We hear about those who are poor. These are the ones who are able to understand at a richer, pun intended there, a richer level, the promises of Jesus and the love of God is what we hear. So you can imagine that when John Wesley preached about earn and save and give, it was surprising to people to hear these instructions. The people of his day, much like us still today, we worry and wonder about how we are to handle money. What does a healthy and a godly relationship with money look like? How do we keep and even spend what we want to if we have money? And for those of us who make an income but that does not often feel like enough, How can we help others if we can barely stay afloat? Now, for some of us, how we do this is a difficulty. We even begin to have these gambling tools that we do with God and with others, both when we have money and when we don't have money. We can even use money as an excuse. I just don't think I have enough. It's really easy for scarcity to become our fear and abundance our pride. Now, while Wesley certainly was referring to money and our use of money, he also viewed this much more broadly than being restricted to money alone. What he was talking about and what he saw was an invitation to participate in what God is doing as we bring all of who we are and who God created us to be to the table. One of my favorite modern theologians, Walter Brueggemann, says this: from the beginning, the human creature, which would be all of us sitting here, is called, given a vocation, and expected to share in God's work. And if we go back to Genesis and look at the way in which God created, we see God was in partnership with creation. God did some work, stepped back and watched it, kind of saw what it did, and then added to it, all the way to creating humans, which was a really special relationship and part of creation. You see, creation was a conversation. God wanted it all to work together. And the creation of humans is the way in which God wanted to manage this creation. We are called into it and expected to be a part of it in meaningful ways, in ways that might get at what God intended for it to be about all along the way. I was just with my best friend in Ohio this past weekend. She's an elementary school counselor, and she loves her work and what she gets to do every day. But she's been in a school before where she didn't feel support or like the work that she did was of value. It was kind of one of those everybody fend for themselves type environment. She felt isolated, and like the work that she was doing to counsel and teach these kids was always limited. Like, there was always restrictions on it. Now, if there are any educators out there, I'm sure that you can imagine what I'm speaking of. She just recently went to a new school, and going into it, she honestly had a different worry. She thought maybe the environment at this new school would be a situation where she didn't feel quite up to par with the talent of the teachers there. But thankfully, what she has experienced is that in an environment where there is support, collegiality, and awareness of the need to communicate and work together, the gifts that she has are now able to shine. The teachers and the administrators, they work together as a team with common objectives. And she has felt inspired with how seeing others work really hard and care about the students doesn't make her feel inadequate at all. But that her work and skills and knowledge can contribute even greater to the value of what's going on. And as she reflected about how grateful she is about this place to work where both her individual gifts, who God created her to be, are valued, what she really feels good about is the experience of having and seeing the power of collaborative work, about what can happen when we work together and see the level of impact that can happen and unfold. This is what can inspire us to work harder. Being in a position that allows us to be aware of our own worth and value in the midst of being empowered to do more means that we ourselves can earn more from the experience. You see, an aspect of earning is realizing that every person's work matters. And we can earn more and do more when we engage fully with those that we are placed in life with. Everyone deserves to be productive in the world, to have the opportunity of contributing and being a part of something, to discover a vocation and a calling, and then to be able to do that thing fully and to be able to be recognized that that is a part of our worth and our value. In these verses in Colossians, this community is receiving instructions about what should motivate us. This chapter is full of instructions to parents and kids, spouses, to employees and employers. And the idea presented in Colossians is to consider what motivates us. What motivates us to work hard? Why do we do what we do? Why do you do what you do? Colossians suggests do it, whatever that might be, not when someone is watching or that someone says, I liked that. But whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as if you were doing this work for the Lord. Now, I think that this is a true thing for any parent in the room, that we are hopeful that our children behave in ways that we would want them to, even when they're not in front of us, right? We send them off to school and hope that they'll remember those lessons and the things that we have taught them. And every employer wants their employees to work hard and get the job done, even when someone's not there to look over your shoulder, right? We are to realize that we are meant to serve God in all that we do. And we do this in connection with others. We're not isolated and alone. We don't work hard or do the right thing only when someone is taking note of it or giving us stickers or an extra reward. Our lives are contributing to this collective whole. Yes, we do have personal responsibilities, like paying rent or mortgage, taxes and insurance. We have our favorite things even, like Netflix and Audible. No one's paying these bills except for us, that is true. But what is our relationship with these things that are in our lives? Do we earn so that we can simply spend? What our scripture frames for us today is that it's good to work hard and to contribute, to earn all that we can, but to understand that your worth and your value is not tied up in how much you make, but in the ways in which you engage. James Harnish is an author who's done a lot of work with this earn, save, gives concept that Wesley laid out. And he says that the best balanced congregations are the ones that realize that their financial wisdom is not a contradiction of their faith, that we're being judged about what we do or don't do with money, but that it's our expression of what we believe about what God would want us to do with it. We don't earn all that we can for the sake of having money. But we earn it for a higher purpose of fulfilling God's intention for our lives. Now, Wesley did talk and give some more instructions about what this earn all you can looks like, because he believed that we should use it to our greatest advantage. And that didn't have to do with misuse, but understanding. He even wrote a sermon called Use of Money. It was pretty simplistic and straightforward. And these are some of the rules that he lines out about earn all you can. He says, earn it without worshiping it. Earn it without injuring self. Yourself and mind, body, spirit. Earn it without injuring your neighbor in mind, body, and spirit. Earn it with honesty, diligence, and hard work. Earn it by using what God has given you to the fullest. Now, some of you are probably sitting here thinking, I'm on a fixed income, and I literally am not earning new money. You have what you have, and maybe it's being invested, and you're being generous in what you can beyond what you need. I imagine that we have some young people here are thinking, I'm just ready to earn some money and be able to do what I want with it. And some of us are in the midst of earning. And as we talk about what it means to earn, it's not about who's demanding things of us or asking us for money and whether or not we say yes to people or no to people who try to make us aware of all of our options of ways that we can spend or save. But for us today, our invitation and what we're going to be exploring for the next couple of weeks, we can't do that authentically and fully unless we first realize that our worth is not tied up in that amount in which we earn. But we are to earn authentically and fully, to be who God created us to be, to partner with God, to live out of our strengths and our gifts and what we have to offer the world in a way that recognizes the beauty of what is inside of you, the gifts that you have and what you can offer to others, and that we're called to do it in community, that we have others that we're doing it alongside, that we all have a part to play. God has gifted us this world and the people and the things that are in it. And we are invited to care for it. Earn what we can to make it better. Not despite others or without regard for others, but because of the others that we are here to journey in life with. And this is something that each and every one of us can participate in, wherever we are in life. Which is a pretty cool invitation, I think. You know, as I step back and think about this big, big picture of what Jesus was wanting the people to hear as he walked around and talked about money and wealth, I believe that what he was honing in on was to keep in mind our relationship with God. What's driving us? What's motivating us? How are we prioritizing what we do? How we spend our time? And yes, our finances. And I wonder if we were to take a step back and to ask those questions and think about what Jesus was teaching to the people, what would happen if we were to dream of ways that our earning, again, not just finances, but the ways in which you have been gifted, can enrich the lives of others? What would you do? What can you imagine that might be possible? Because it is true that what we do with what we have been given, with who God has created us to be, it makes a difference. And it matters. I want you just to take a moment, and somewhere along your pew, you're going to find a green card that looks like this. And there should be enough for everyone to grab it. On the front side, you're going to see the word earn. And on the back side, it just has a little bit of reflection, some of what you've heard me share this morning. But I want to invite you to take this with you. Because a part of what we are in being invited into in these weeks ahead is to consider, what is God calling you to do and be about? How is God inviting you to participate in what's going on in the world around us? I appreciate Leslie's prayer this morning, reflecting on all those who are devastated by physical destruction around them right now. This word earn probably feels a little bit heavy. But we have a role to play in what God is doing. And I invite you to be in prayer, to use your imaginations, to dream even about how you and how we as a community might participate in what God is doing. Our God is good and faithful, and in all things, thanks be to God. Amen. So this morning,